We're working. We might make a little noise, but just know it's coming from the jacket. Okay, so let me fix it now. It's loose, is what it is. How about now? All right. So we in this series, Matthew 6:10, Matthew 6:33, and we're seeking first the kingdom. I'm almost to part three. Part three, we're going to try to get through to, into part three, then we'll be done and we'll keep going. All right. Reason we're saying that, we got a lot of stuff to cover, but the kingdom needs to be understood because it's the prize. It's the prize. We're all succoted for the prize. And so now we're talking about this kingdom. You can't find, listen, when you keep Torah, you can't go anywhere in Scripture without seeing how it all flows together. Anywhere you want to pick, you can open the Bible and just put your finger on it. It flows with the Torah. The issue with not keeping Torah is you make stuff up. And that's what the church world has done for hundreds of years, made stuff up. And we don't want to do that. Okay? How many ready to dive into this thing again this morning? So I left off talking about Hebrews 11. Last time that I shared was Hebrews 11. And we talked about all these died not receiving the promise. So do they still have the promise? Well, of course they do. It's either that or God lied. And if he lied, let's all go home because we're wasting our time. If he lied, then all this is for nothing. But they died not receiving the promise. All the 11 fathers of faith, all those heroes of faith, they all died not getting it. You know why? Because one day he's going to raise them up. And they're all going to get it. I would like to get to that verse today and talk about that, but we may not. So when Yeshua was preaching about the kingdom, the people expected it to immediately appear. To correct their misunderstanding, he told a parable about a nobleman receiving a kingdom. So he tells this parable about a nobleman that received the kingdom. This was a picture of himself going to heaven to receive the kingly power from the Father and to return subsequently to reign as king over that kingdom. So heaven must retain, remember the scripture, heaven must retain him until he's got to put all power and all authority under him. And then he's going to let him release. And once he releases, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to have the trumpet of sound, Yom Teruah. We're going to all bow the knee. We're all going to make sure that we have atoned for everything. And we're going to just celebrate the Lord. And then we're going to go into Sukkot, which we just got finished celebrating. It's going to be a wonderful event. But before that happens, Yeshua's been promised some things. One of the things he's promised, when he comes, he's not coming as the humbled servant. Now, he describes himself as the humbled servant. But when he comes, he's coming back as a conquering king. How many thank God that you're waiting for that, a conquering king. And he'll set it in order. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And so let's look at this, Luke 19, verse number 1. Luke 19, verse number 1. And Yeshua entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So think about this. He's the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So he got a few things not going very well for him. In the biblical text, in the natural text, he's got everything he needs. He's rich, he's got prestige, but he's got some trouble. And he sought to see Yeshua, who he was, because he'd been hearing about this Yeshua, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. So he was chief among the publican, rich, and he was not very tall. He was short. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Yeshua came to the place, he looked up. Now, what place did he come to? He came to the place where Zacchaeus was in the tree. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thine house. Now, this was not a private statement. He made this publicly. So he's making a public statement to Zacchaeus, and already the Jews that were around said, what is he doing? You can't do what you're doing. What you just said, you can't do it because you'll be breaking the law. You can't do that. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the witnesses, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Raise your hand if you ever done that. Right? Who in here has ever gone to be a guest that is a sinner? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto Yeshua, behold, Master. Notice his words. Behold, Master, the poor, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, he makes this statement. And the first statement is, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Yeshua said unto him, notice the statement Yeshua makes, this day. What does this day mean? Do we use the word what? Today. Right? If I'm talking about today, am I talking about tomorrow? Am I talking about yesterday? What am I talking about? I'm talking about this day that we're present in right now. He says to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. Now, there's a big difference between what the church world preaches and religion teaches about salvation coming. Now, he's telling us, he's giving us this wonderful story to look at. This day, salvation's come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Notice that. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Was he lost? Of course he was lost. But he was well known. Everybody knew Zacchaeus. He'd walk in the room, they'd all look down. That's Zacchaeus. But he was a prestige. He had prestige. He was chief among the publicans. And he was rich. Right? But nevertheless, he had some issues. And so he climbed up in this tree, because he couldn't see over the crowd. And he said, today I'm going to know who he is. I'm going to meet him. I'm going to meet this guy. So notice the statement, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man, speaking of himself, he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, who's they? The crowd, they heard these things, the ones that were murmuring earlier. That's the same day. He added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they, the murmurers, thought that the kingdom of Yahweh should immediately appear. And he said unto them, and he goes on and gives this exhortation of the nobleman's son. But let me tell you what happened to Zacchaeus before we move on and leave him just hanging out there. The difference in Zacchaeus' life is he didn't just receive Yeshua, he did something about it. What did he do? He said, if I did wrong, I'm going to pay it back. You understand? So he was exercising the salvation that came to him that day. You don't just receive him, you do something showing you received him. That's salvation. It's not everybody stand, close your eyes, nobody looking around, you come pray, and you go home. I want to know what you're doing the next day. Oh, well, let's go a little further out. Or you're back in church the next service. Because Zacchaeus, he says, whatever I've done wrong, I'm going to pay it back. Something happened to him. He didn't get a mental ascent. He got a heart change. Do you understand? And when you get a heart change, what happens? You start doing the change. You start doing it. You act it out. It's part of what happened to you. So anybody can say, if I say, you believe in Jesus? Well, sure, I believe in Jesus. If you believe in him, why don't we do what he says? We got to do what he says. What was Zacchaeus doing? He already instant. Did you read the section where he sat him down in his house and he gave him 7 steps to how to pay back all the wrong he did? He never preached that message to him. When this guy met Yeshua, he knew he was the real deal. And instantly, when he received him, he said, I'm going to change the way I act. I'm going to change my lifestyle. That's what happens when you get born again. You don't need a 7-step program to show you how to quit doing wrong. You go back, because let me tell you, Zacchaeus must have been thinking about this for a long time. That on this particular day, he said, today I'm going to meet him. He might have been going around tapping people. Today I'm going to meet Yeshua. You can't meet Yeshua. Look, you can't even see over us. He figured a way out. He wanted it so bad. You know, he reminds me of the woman who had the issue of blood. Today I'm going to meet him. Today I'm going to be healed. Today, but you've been having this condition a long time. But today I'm going to get healed. All I got to do is reach the hem of his garment because today I'm going to be healed. And we know that that's what happened because Yeshua replies to your faith. It's the faith you had to reach out and grab hold to and pull it in that caused healing to come to you. He is the healer, but you can't get healed if you're not willing to draw it from him. How many want a miracle in your life? How many need a miracle in your family? Your family's life. Who's willing to draw it out and get it for your family? Sometimes you got to climb a tree. Sometimes you got to crawl on all. She was crawling trying to get to him. That's why she hit the hem. It was closest to her. Sometimes we think we need a shoulder grab or a hug when all we got to do is get down and say, I am not quit until I get it. And that'll change your life forever. Zacchaeus' life changed. Well, anyway, he's talking about this kingdom because they think it's going to come immediately. And he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. Everybody say, and return. That's my favorite part. I love when he's going to receive the kingdom, but I like the and return part. But he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. That is not sitting doing nothing. Occupying is the sense of being present to hold a position. You occupy till I come. Notice that. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have him. And it came to pass, when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he came commanding his servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, and he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So he gave them a certain portion, and their job was to trade, to increase what they had been given, not to have less. but to increase. And when he would come, he would demand that of them. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. How many see increase there? Thy pound gained 10. And he said unto him, Well, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Notice that. That's a big difference between a pound and 10 cities. See, it might seem like what you're doing is little, but if you're faithful to what you're doing and keep being consistent on what you're doing, God will reward you big time. That's what he does. And this is what he did. A pound, that was your responsibility. You went from a pound to 10 pounds, and God said, I'll give you 10 cities. Now, notice that these cities that he's talking about, these are places where the faithful servant can occupy and keep them in the things of God. It's not to blend in. How many of you know it's easy to blend in? You can just kind of blend in. You can be overpowered because there's so much. But we're not in the blend in business. We're in the saying what the word of God says. Amen? Verse 18, and the second came saying, Master, thy pound have gained 5 pounds. How many see increase there? And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. I put it in a napkin. I folded it really nice. It was special to me. I was real religious over it. You know, I got in the church and I buttoned my coat and I put my hands like this and I was giving some respect to it. I mean, no, he's not interested in what he gave you. It doesn't need help with how important it is to him. He wants you to take what he gave you and increase it. Everybody say increase, because that's the goal that he wants us to see. That once the spirit, the set apart spirit comes on the inside of you and you look at the Torah and you see the scripture, you should experience increase. The only way you can't, if you don't listen to the spirit. So there was no increase. He said, I kept it. I laid it in a napkin. For I feared thee. Notice these terms. I feared thee because thou art an artist man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. So how is he judging? By what he did. Remember, because did he measure out anything? He did measure something, even though the story says what he did was nothing. But what he measured out, he's going to get measured back to him again. I mean, that's a principle. He said, I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an artist man, taking up that I laid not down, and reapest that I did not sow. Therefore, then givest not thou my money into the bank, that I may come and might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound and give it to the one that has 10 pounds. Notice that. He took it from him. Now what he has? If he took the pound from him, what he has? He has nothing. Well, let's take that back. He's got his napkin. And I'm afraid that many people are going around with their sanctimony napkin thinking they've done something for God because they're religious. They follow all the religious rules but don't follow none of God's rules. Where does that get you? All you got at the end is your napkin. You got your religious practice, but you don't have anything God has for you. And he said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds, and I say unto you, And they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. And I say unto you, that unto everyone that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemy, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before and ascended up into Jerusalem. So he's given this example in this parable of how the kingdom's going to operate. There's going to be a separation. It's coming. And I'll keep going to get ahead of myself from what I was looking at this morning, which is for like a month away. Was this spelled out more clearly in Acts is the question. What I just talked to you is it's spelled out in Acts. Well, let's look at it. Acts chapter 3, verse 17. And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which Elohim before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Messiah should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What is he trying to blot out? Remember I talked about this during Sukkot? He's not blotting out the Old Testament. That's not what he's blotting out. Blotting out the handwritten ordinances that were against us. It's not the Torah that's against anybody. It's the failed marriage. The failed marriage is what he's blotting out. Remember, we were espoused to him, but that marriage failed. Under Adam, the marriage failed. It was a complete flop. Therefore, God had no recourse but to give a bill of divorcement. He divorced his people. He said, I can't marry somebody who's committed adultery on me. So how am I going to fix it? To fix that adultery, there's got to be a death. So he's got to send a representative. And that representative was Yeshua. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the exact representation of him. I'm going to represent him. And what did they do him? They killed him. He died. Now that the death is there, all God's got to do now is do what? Raise him from the dead. Set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Put him above all the powers and principalities. Done everything for him. Now what we have now? We're waiting what? We're waiting for a wedding. We're waiting for the wedding again. Now we're espoused again. We have the guarantee. So he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's blotted out. What did he nail to the cross? He nailed the old marriage covenant. He nailed it to the cross because it was no good anymore. But we got a new covenant. Everybody say new. We have a new covenant. It's got better promises. Its foundation. It's on better principles. And those, why is it better? Because for by grace are you saved through faith. You ready for another one? And you can have the set-apart spirit, which you couldn't have before. You can have the set-apart spirit. Isn't that amazing? Now, they could have it in the sense of the word, because the word was given at Mount Sinai, and that was Shavuot. But did they obey the word? No, they broke the word. So what do? We have tools. Everybody say tools. You have tools to make it. So when you're struggling, you have the set-apart spirit in you. Yes. What did he promise? He said, there's a better covenant. The better covenant is he takes the stony heart out. So I was thinking about this. And I didn't do it, but I was thinking about it. I'll just tell you about it. So just say I come to Brother Rob and I give him a stone. I just tell him, here's a stone. Now I want you to work on this stone and make me a heart. That's the instructions. What do I want him to make? A heart. He looks at that stone and it looks like a box. He's going to look at me and go, okay. I don't know how I'm going to do that. So he starts rubbing on it. While he's doing that, I come over here and I look at Brother Phil and I say, Phil, I got this lump of clay. Sort of like flesh. Make me a heart. He's going to say, okay. He presses on. It's pliable. Figures out you can shape it. It won't be long. I said, I'll be right back. So I come over here, check on Brother Rob. You got my heart made yet? He said, man, I've been beating on this thing. I've been pushing on it. It's still a stone. It's hard. It's not pliable. I can't do anything with it. I really want to. And I understand what you're asking me to do, but I'm working as hard as I can. And I can't get this thing to get the shape that you asked for. That's what was under the old covenant. But he said, I'll make a new covenant. I'll take out the heart of stone. And I'll put my word in you, in your fleshly heart. He said, I'll do that for you. You see, is it better? Is it better? So let's not kid ourselves that we got the best thing God can ever offer humanity in order for us to make the kingdom. The best thing. He writes it in your heart. It's in you. And how do you obey it? By set apart spirit. That's how you obey it. If you don't let the spirit teach you and guide you, you won't obey it. You can have it and you can put it in a napkin and you can dance around it. My, you can prophesy over it. You can take it on a Jericho march. We had those. Just take it on a Jericho march. At the end of the day, all you got is what's in a napkin. But when you trust God, when you put your faith in Him, you take what He has and you spread it out. You make yourself available to others. He said, occupy. Make yourself available to others. Why? Because they need you. And you need them. It's called God's family. Remember that. It's for a reason. Now, I didn't plan all this stuff, but God's plan, He does it. But I was thinking about that all week, about that stone. And I could have brought a stone in and got some clay and done all that. But how many got the gist of what I was trying to say? You can work on it all your life. You can rub as hard as you want. It's a stone. You can't do anything with it. That's what God was up against. Your heart is like stone, but I'm going to do a new covenant. In the last days, they said, I'm going to make a new covenant. Did anybody read Ezekiel? How many times we read Ezekiel? Did we read that? Did we read Ezekiel every opening of Sukkot? What do you think he's talking about there? That's what I'll do. That's what happens to you. So when you said, you know what, I decided I'm going to start serving God. You didn't decide. He decided for you. He took that heart of stone out of you and put your fleshly heart. Now the word gets to you. And you can hear it. How many know God wants us to hear it? Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh. And he shall send Yeshua, Messiah, which before was preached unto you. He was preached, talking about in the Torah, in the prophets, whom heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which Elohim has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you for your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. You got to do what when he says something? Hear it. Oh, my. Hear? Yeah, hear. Why is hearing important? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of Elohim. Comes by him. So we know we got the right resource. So why do I still have the issues? Because it's got to hit here. And if it hits the stony heart, it does you no good. Do you understand? But if it hits the fleshly heart, that you don't, it's pliable, it can receive that. You know what happened? It changed your life forever.
Yes, amen.
I just explained to you what being born again is, how it looks, so you can get a picture of it. But coming up and saying a prayer after somebody and say, I got it. That ain't no good, because let me tell you what happened to Zacchaeus when it hit him. He knew it.
Yes, he knew.
How do we know he knew it? He said, I've done wrong.
Yes.
I've done wrong and I'm going to pay it back. He got into doing business because he knew he did wrong. Because something happened to his heart. Before, he was a chief publican. Nobody tell me what to do. And I'm rich besides. I don't need your money. I got my money. He was a hard guy till Yeshua got a hold to him.
Amen.
Made all the difference. But let me tell you what I like about that. The Bible says when Yeshua got to the place, he just looked up because there he was. How many have that moment when you know you was at that spot and Yeshua looked up and said, it's your day today. It might be today. If it's your day, just say yes. Because on the other side of yes, that's where the blessings start. After you say yes. And do you think it's going to be difficult? The only time it's difficult if you don't listen to set apart spirit. That's when it's difficult. Because then you take the reins and you're trying to run your life.
Yeah,
let me tell you, you can't run your life. Look at the mess we put it in the first time. Man can't run man's life. That's what happened to Adam. He's trying to run things. He had a set order. Don't eat from the tree that's in the midst of the garden. That tree, you can't touch that one. It's mine. And he messed that up. But Yeshua come along and he said, I come in the volume of the book. The whole thing. I come in what's written and what's going to be written. To do thy will, O God. That's what I'm in the business. He said, I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. You see a man who relinquished all his rights. And we got a society that all they want is their rights. It's terrible. Everybody's fighting for their rights, and we got organization on top of organization standing up for what I'm right in. Listen, we got to realize that we have sinned against God, the Most High, and you got to relinquish your rights, which you think you're right in, and notice that he gave it all for you, changed your life forever. How many thank God for his word? Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which shall hear the prophet, shall be what? Destroyed from among the people. You got to hear him. Why do you need to hear again? Because that's where it goes in. Then it's here. What do you do when you hear something? What's the first thing you do? You think about it. And then where it goes? Here. Religion, it never goes here. It only goes here. Called mental assent. That's religion. Folks are getting saved by the thousands like that, mental assent. They have no discipleship. They know nothing about Torah. They know nothing about the Word of God. They know a few little fancy scripture. John 3:16 comes to mind, and they're good to go. It's all right here. But when it hits here, it changes your life forever. How many want change? And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet, who's the prophet here we're talking about? Yeshua, shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel to those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, Elohim, having raised up his son, having raised up his son, Yeshua, sent him to be blessed in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. We get turned away from it. That means our appetite changes. We start doing God's Bible things in Bible ways. Everybody say Bible things in Bible ways. Now raise your hand and say, that's what I want to be doing. I just set you up. Thank you. I had all them hands up. Man, I am so glad you're on board. Notice that Messiah will be in heaven until Yahweh's time to establish all that the prophets foretold. Also that in the meantime, we ought to listen to all that he told us. To repent, believe, and be made ready to do what? Be made ready to do what? Obey his word. So what was Zacchaeus doing? He was obeying the word. Because in the Torah it says, if you've done somebody something, you pay them back fourfold. How did he know the Torah? Because Yeshua looked up. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. For today, I'm going to your house. Today, your life's going to change. I'm just wondering what they talked about when they sat and ate. You ever wondered things about the Bible? I wonder all the time. What a conversation that must have been. Because the man changed his life. He started doing things God's way. Made a difference in him. Although we are told that we cannot know the time of Messiah's return, we are given certain signs which will indicate to us that this event is close and imminent. Imminent. Luke 21, verse 25, and there shall be a sign, be sign in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. You remember the sign in the sun, the moon, and the stars? Well, we've heard sun, moon, and stars all in the same scripture before. That'd be Genesis. Go to Genesis 1, and you can go to verse 14, I believe it is, thereabouts. And it talks about, and he made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Let them, what? The sun, moon, and stars. Let them be for signs, for seasons. The word season, again, that's the appointed time, the moed. Let them be for these appointed times. So he said, is he gives us any indication about when he's going to come? He talks about sun, moon, and stars. And the earth, and upon the earth, distress of nations. Distress of nations. With perplexity. And the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts, that's literal hearts. Not a spiritual word here. It's literal. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Like people just out of fear because they don't know what's going on. They seeing what's happening, they're just going to start dying. They have a heart attack and die. What would you do tomorrow if you wake up and everything changed? All your bank accounts are drained. Everything that you thought you had with retirement is all gone. It's all gone. But you still have Yeshua, you're going to be in good shape. And if you were studying Torah, you're going to say, hey, we're here. It's the guy that don't have that, you think he's going to be clapping? He ain't clapping for nothing. He's trying to find a gun. You know what? I was told one time when I was early in ministry, you got to make sure the vision stays and it's real. And I was told about this incident. And the story was being told. He said, I told a man, he said, if you're going to do something for God, do it with everything that's in you. And while you're doing it, just know right up front, you're going to make mistakes. He didn't pick you because you was perfect and you would just do everything he told you. You're going to falter. You're going to fail. You're going to have problems. But you hang in there. God will get you through everything. There ain't nothing you ever go through he won't get you through. And he told me this. He said, I told this gentleman, when you get in ministry, you're either going to have faith in God, he's going to be a big God, or you're going to have a big gun. I said, what? A big gun? He said, yeah, because if you get out of tilts with God, that's where you wind up. Because you can't determine anything anymore. And that's what's going to happen to many people. Their hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. What a day, what a day, what a day that's going to be. They shall see the Son of Man. Who's they? The ones whose hearts are failing, the ones that's having trouble, they're going to see it, and we're going to be in it. We're going to be a part of it. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. I'm so glad that Yeshua has looked up to me because I was in the tree and he brought salvation to my heart because one day I'm going to get to do what he did. I'm going to look up because there he is. I'm going to realize that he wasn't kidding. He ain't a business of lying. He don't play jokes. What he says he's going to do. He wants the best for us. Then look up and lift up your heads, because the heads are what? Hung down. Because it's a tough time. Lift your heads up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Thank God for redemption. Amen? Now, we've answered all these questions we've been answering. Now we're going to look at how. How will the kingdom of Yahweh be ushered in? How will it happen? We are told that at the sound of a loud trumpet call, the signal for war, Messiah will return in power and great glory. That's what we just read. Matthew 24, verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, everybody say immediately after. Because you can get off in the wonder world if you don't read that part right there. And you get off in saying things that the Torah does not say, nor did Yeshua preach. Now, I think these are in red. Is that red up there? Okay, that's him. That's Yeshua. And he said, I don't care what anybody else said. I don't care what the preacher said. Yeshua said immediately after the tribulation of those days. You know what I believe? After. So do I need to be prepped? Do I need to make sure my heart's right? Do I need to make sure it's pliable? Do I need to be getting everything I can get when it's time to be getting? Every time you can be in church, where do you need to be? In church. Now, we can give a million excuses, and they might be legitimate to you, but to God, none of them are. Do you understand that? None of them are legitimate to God, but to me, I could give you one. I can give my best, and you might buy it. You know, everybody just got to understand. You know, we just got to understand. But I'm not talking about what I understand or you understand. We're talking about God. He wants you to know that when it's time for the appointment, be there. How many of you ever had a doctor's appointment? You go to a doctor's appointment for a reason, right? Nobody goes to the doctor for no reason. You know what? I'm feeling so good today. I'm on top of the world. I've never felt so good and so strong and so healthy in my entire life. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Who says that? I mean, that's crazy talking, right? Nobody says that. But boy, man, I might need to go get this checked. That's sensible, right? Very sensible. But listen, this is what happens. We're going to get ourselves ready. He's doing all these things. He's working in us. We're not looking to go get something checked out. We're looking for the prize. But we constantly got to make sure that we maintain that walk with God that keeps us in that position. How many of you know He wants us right? Now, watch what He says here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. So if He gives me appointments, and He's telling me about an appointment, and you made an appointment to go get something checked, you go and you get checked. You leave with a hope. What's the hope? That you're better. So why is it He sets these appointments? Because we got something that ails us. Every one of us got something that ails us. Every one of us. And He sets appointments up, like Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, Shavuot, Yom Teruah. Are you getting it? Yom Kippurim, and Sukkot, and Shabbat. Oh, maybe I should say Shabbat first, because that's the first Moed. And we should be there. Because we got something that ails us. The sin nature. But we're getting changed. How many thank God for that? So every time you go, you're going to get what? Better. Because whatever ails you, He gives you something to fix it. Are you hearing me? Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. When you see these things. And then shall all the tribes of the earth do what? Mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man and coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We got Luke saying that, Matthew saying that, same thing. And He shall send His angels with great sound of a trumpet, And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Everybody say wedding. Because that's what he's doing that for. The wedding. The consummation of the marriage takes place at that time. And that's going to happen because you can't enter Jerusalem until it happens. So folks talking about, I got everything I'm ever going to need. You don't have the wedding yet. You don't have the face-to-face yet. One day. For now, we see through a glass dimly, but one day. Once that happens, you're ready for the walk into Jerusalem. Your garment, you change your garment, you put on the wedding garment. It's a wonderful principle. Will he overthrow the wicked with power when he comes the second time? Will he overthrow the wicked with power when he comes the second time? Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall come and rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. Wow. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither approve after the hearing of his ears. That's a real problem that we have as humans. We judge by the sight of our eyes and by what we heard. Everybody say hello.
Hello.
Say, pastor's about to meddle. And you'd be right. I didn't even know that was, because I didn't, you know, I had been having these slides, but I'm so glad that when the Lord was wooing me for this slide here, I said yes. It was for the day. Thank you, Lord. See, he knows. So this has been in here for a long time. So my slides, presentations are open, right? So I invite people in, like Pastor Josh and Brother Herman. They'll come in. They can see it. So Pastor Josh knows that this is stuff that you just make them, and they're there. They might be there for a while. Well, this one right here. This one's doing my heart real happy right now. Thank you, Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding. Should we go back and find out who we're talking about? Because the prophet, remember, the prophet is saying something here that we need to understand. Let's look at it again. And it shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who's the rod out of the stem of Jesse? Who's the branch that shall grow out of its roots? The Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. Well, we have the scroll given to Yeshua in the synagogue on the Shabbat. He gets up to read and he says, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. So how many know who I'm talking about, even though I'm in Isaiah? Here we go. And this is what's going to be on him. The Spirit of Yahweh shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eye. You got to be careful that you don't judge after the sight of your eye. Because it's amazing how people are, us humans. When I say people, I'm speaking to me because I'm people too. It's amazing how we can judge and see the speck. The speck is like a splinter that somebody has in their eye, but we don't see the plank in ours. We spend most of our life looking over the plank to see the speck. It's what we do. Everybody say, that's me. That's what we do. But he's trying to teach us, don't do that. You know what happened to Zacchaeus when Yeshua became real to him? He quit doing that. He said, it's me the one that's got to fix something. It's me the one that caused the money to be given to me at a false accusation. Let me just explain to you Zacchaeus a little bit. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. So he'd go and say, okay, Tyreek, you owe me some taxes. And he got the paper. And Tyreek owes $2. He says, you owe me $4. What, you won't pay it? You're going to jail. See? He did it all the time. You know what happened when he come down that tree and went home and he got that revelation? He went and found Tyreek. Am I helping you today? He went and found Tyreek and he said, Tyreek, guess what I did? I swindled you. I lied to you. So I'm giving you back your $2 because I did that. That's what happens when you get born again. If you're not doing that, I would question what born again means to you. Because he says, when you do that, you're going to do what I do. You'll do what I say. He won't judge after the sight of his eye, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear. Let me talk about that one a little bit. You're going to hear a lot of stuff. That's just what happens. You hear stuff. But our job is not to go on what we hear. What happens when you hear it? It goes here. Then you think about it. After you think about it, you're going to repeat what you heard. And depending on what type of person you are, you're going to add or you're going to take away. Because the moment you do say, you will never say it like you heard it. You won't. Because if you're going to speak on it, you just won't say it like you heard it. You're either going to take something out of it or you're going to add to it because you're human. And that's what we do. We don't know how to be just outside of the set-apart spirit coming and teaching us how to be just. We don't know how to not say outside of the Holy Spirit coming and saying, don't say that. Why would you say that? We just don't know. Don't know an excuse to keep doing? No, we're here to be born again. We're here to live out the Torah. We're here to do what God... That's why he said, if you bring me one witness and the witness says this guy was doing this, don't listen to the one witness. Don't listen to him. You bring me two witnesses, now you got a little bit more because both of them saying this happened. That's a big difference. I'd rather three, though. That's what he said. I'll do it with two, but it's going to be a judgment call on the part of the one doing the judging. How many know Yeshua is a just judge? So he got that off. But three's better. Give me three witnesses. And know what he says in the Word of God? If people, by the law of Moses, were put to death on the mouth of two or three witnesses, how much more you and I, who have the set-apart spirit, who's the greatest witness of all, because he only speaks what? Truth. There you go. You got all the witness you want when the Holy Spirit says it. It's truth. And there's a whole series doing that, just talking about that part. But listen, he don't judge by the sight of the eye, nor the hearing of the ear. I said enough right there. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Are you hearing this? This is what he's going to do. Do you see any debate? There's no debate. There's not a guy putting his case out. There's no debate because he's going to do it with righteous judgment. Will he arrive on Mount Olive just outside Jerusalem? Oh, I'm over, huh? Sometimes, that's relative. 20, no way, huh? My clock done went to an hour. I don't know how that happened. Y'all didn't know I had a clock, huh, this whole time. It just does. I didn't even know it did it, but you start it, and it kind of sets your clock. So will he arrive on Mount of Olives just outside Jerusalem to fight the nations assembled in that area? The nations will be assembled outside Jerusalem. Will he arrive to fight them? Let's see. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. We'll read this and then we'll close. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. Are they going to win? the city shall be taken. It's going to look like it's a whole loss. And the city shall be taken, and the horses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh, everybody say Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Then shall Yahweh go forth. How is he going to do that? How's Yahweh going forth? With his representative. Who's his representative? Yeshua. Just want to make sure we're clear with that. Yahweh shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. The cleave means it's going to split. And there shall be a very great valley, a very great valley when he hits the Mount of Olives. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. How many see that? So it's going to be a day that's going to be a lot of catastrophic events happening. When you see a mountain just implode and it move directions and creates a big valley, there's something goes on at that time. And it talks about the seals in Revelation, there's going to be a great earthquake. So all of this is connected. When it all happens, all the simultaneous, when it seems like all is lost for humanity, all is lost, he shows up and he redeems humanity. It's a wonderful thing. Now, if you don't know the things that you're supposed to know as you get to this approach, you're going to feel hopeless. Because you have no knowledge of what's going on. What we're trying to do is show you what's going on. What's going to happen? It's going to be a wonderful thing. The kingdom of God is going to be set up. It's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be beautiful. And so next time we're here, we'll talk about where the apostles told that Messiah, Yahweh's anointed agent, through whom he carries out his plan, will return in the same way as he had gone, into the clouds on Mount of Olives and out of the clouds arriving on Mount of Olives. So it talks about that, and we'll talk about that next time. Let's all stand.